Good morning, Honey Ridge family, and to all those who are joining us this morning. Yesterday, we started looking at Psalm 63. I mentioned that this psalm was penned by David when he was fleeing his son Absalom. I also wanted to endeavor to answer three questions about seeking after God through the psalm. The first question was, what does it mean to seek after God? Secondly, what does the person look like who seeks after God? And thirdly, how does a person seek after God? We answered question one yesterday, and we said that while keeping the depth of feeling in mind, it is helpful to separate out three strands of what it means to seek after God. The first strand was, to seek after God means to have an intimate, personal relationship with God. The second strand is, to seek after God means always to desire more of Him. And the third strand is, to seek after God means to pursue God alone to fill the vacuum in your life. Now today we'll continue this devotional by answering the next two questions. So let's move right along to question number two. And that question was, what does the person look like who seeks after God? I only want to touch lightly on this question so that I can concentrate on the third question. But I want you to see that a person who seeks after God is not a religious mystic who is out of touch with reality. Putting God in the center of your life gives you balance and perspective in the crises of life. Notice briefly four things which characterize the person who seeks after God. The first characteristic is, the person who seeks after God has inner satisfaction. We see that in verse 5. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. He is never complacent, but satisfied. David's soul was at rest. Even in the middle of a calamity such as this rebellion, which would push many to fall apart emotionally, David had inner peace and calm. Just as you feel physically after eating a delicious prime rib dinner, so David felt spiritually after feasting on the Lord. He was satisfied in God. The second characteristic is, the person who seeks after God has inner joy. Verse 5 says, my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. In verse 7 it says, in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. And in verse 11, but the king will rejoice in God. David had a joy not based on circumstances. His whole world was falling apart, but he had the Lord and his loyal love, and so he could sing and rejoice in God. You can't explain that apart from God. Now, the third characteristic that we want to look at is, the person who seeks after God has inner stability and strength in crises. In verse 7 and 8, we see, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. God was David's help. David hid under God's wing as a baby chick hides for protection under the mother hen's wing. God's powerful hand upheld and sustained David. He stayed steady in the storm because he had the inner resource of God's strength. Which leads us to the fourth characteristic which we see here of David. The person who seeks after God has inner perspective and balance. We see this in verse 9 to 11. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be prey for the jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. You see, David wasn't consumed with thoughts of getting even. As he considered his circumstances, he realized that God is just. God would judge fairly. The wicked would not prevail in the long run. Thus, David could commit the situation to the Lord and act with the right perspective and balance. He would make it his business to rejoice in God and let God deal with his enemies and vindicate him. He knew his calling and that God would not fail to accomplish all that concerned him. The point is, the person who seeks after God will be a person of strength and stability, a person with inner resources to meet every crisis in life. Now for the crucial question. How does a person seek after God? I'm assuming you already know God personally through Christ. As I already mentioned, you begin a relationship with God when you realize you have sinned against the Holy God and when you flee for refuge to the provision God has made for your sin, that is the cross of Christ. No one seeks for God unless God first seeks after them. Thus, no one can boast, we have only received God's undeserved gift. But once you've received it, how do you go on seeking after God? Well, there are three things you should be doing. First thing that you can do is you seek God by putting love for God at the center of your relationship with him. We see this in a couple of verses. In verse 3, we see God's loving kindness was better to David than life itself. Therefore, David says in verse 8, "My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me." What a beautiful balance. David clings to God, but underneath it all, God's powerful hand is under David. Your relationship with the Lord is comparable to a marriage relationship. Marriage is a relationship where intense feelings of passion and a lifelong commitment are intertwined. When a couple falls in love, there are strong feelings, and there is nothing wrong with that. But a marriage cannot be built on feelings alone, but on commitment. The commitment carries you through the hard times when the feelings may fade. Sometimes you have to work at the romance, which sounds contradictory, but it's not. But if there are never any feelings of love, your marriage is in trouble. Seeking after God means keeping your passion for God alive. Christianity is not just a matter of head, but of the heart. As you think on what God has done for you in Christ, it ought to move you emotionally. As you reflect on his great love and faithfulness towards you over the years, in spite of your failures, you ought to feel love for him. In your marriage, keeping your passion alive means saying no to some things in order to say yes to your wife. Your job, interests, time with other friends, and even your church involvement, these are all good things in their place, but they shouldn't come before your marriage. In the same way, nothing, not even your marriage and family life, should come before your love relationship with God. That leads us to the second thing. You seek God by spending consistent time alone with him. David was under intense pressure as he fled from Absalom. He had to think about how all of his loyal followers who fled with him were going to get food and water in this barren wilderness. He had to be constantly thinking about their safety, and yet did not neglect earnestly seeking God in this trying situation. There is a determination here, which we see in verse 1. I shall seek you earnestly. And again in verse 3, my lips will praise you. And again in verse 4, so I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And again we see it in verse 8, my soul clings to you. David made it a priority to spend time alone with God. We all make time to do what we really want to do. Let's consider a young man in college who is working and carrying a full load of classes. His schedule seems packed. Then he meets the woman of his dreams. Suddenly, he finds time to spend with her. It's not a duty, it's a delight. He will cut corners elsewhere if he has to, but he will not miss his time with this beautiful creature. If you love God, you'll make time to spend with him because you delight to do so. This includes time in his word, renewing your mind so that you can please him. It also includes time in prayer, bringing your needs and others' needs before him. This brings us to our next point. You seek God by integrating him into every area of your life. See, God isn't just a spoke in the wheel. He's the hub. God isn't just a slice of life who rounds out your other pursuits. Rather, God permeates every area of your life. He's at the center of every decision you make. He's the Lord of every relationship you have. You manage your money by considering it, what his word says about it. There is no area of your life, be it in your business, your family, your education, or whatever, where God is not an integral part. There is no division between sacred and secular. All of life is related to God. So here is David. His kingdom is in disarray, running for his life, seeking to protect his men. It would be understandable if God were temporarily squeezed out of the picture. But David is following hard after God. God was at the center of David's present and his future. No area was off limits to God. So, if we need to conclude, how is it with you and God? Perhaps you say, I'm actively involved in serving him. Well, that's fine, but that's not what I'm asking. You can be in full-time ministry and lose sight of seeking God himself. I once heard that the late godly pastor and author, Alan Redpath, speak. He told how he faced a time in his life when the opportunities for ministry were the greatest he had ever seen. God seemed to be blessing his preaching. It was the kind of thing every pastor prays and longs for. And then, right in the middle of it, Redpath was laid up with a stroke. As he lay in his hospital bed, he asked, Lord, why? Why now, when the opportunities to serve you are so great? I'll never forget what he said next. He said that the Lord quietly impressed upon him, Alan, you've gotten your work ahead of your worship. Well, ouch. Imagine hearing that from the Lord. So let's review your past week or month and ask yourself, did my schedule reflect that seeking God was my number one priority? You say, well, that's my priority, but I've been under a lot of pressure. Pressure is what reveals your true priorities. When the pressure is on, everything but the essential gets set aside. The Holy Spirit is telling us through David, seek God is essential. It is not essential for you, then you're going to join David, the man after God's heart, in making it so. When I was a boy, we had to sit in church with our parents often. And as a little boy sitting on the long wooden benches, I remember one song we sang that was based on a few verses from the psalm. It was called Thy Loving Kindness. It brings back so many fond memories, and I pray that you will be blessed by the words of this song. Have a good day and be blessed.
It's better than life.